Blog Talk Radio.
As usual, I just wanted to get into this program. I don't even know where to start. I really do feel like everything is just spinning out of control. I don't know where the next moves are. I don't know where the next attack is coming from or anything like that. Sure does feel like there's an attack around the corner. I feel like I'm having to look over my shoulder for terrorists and extremists. I look at everyone twice now. The other day I was in not the grocery store, I was getting gas. And I was real interested in, I don't know what it was. I just, a lot of people, they look at me. A lot of people think that I'm Indian, like from India. And they're disappointed when they realize I'm not Indian. They thought maybe they have found a fellow countryman or something. And, I guess if I were to go to India, maybe I'd fit right in. I don't know. But the point is, I'm in conversation. They strike up conversation with me because they think I'm a fellow countryman. But anyway, we get in a conversation, and I almost always find a way to ask whether or not they believe in Islam or not. Of course, a lot of them do. And when they do, I start to ask them questions. I want to know, basically, why are people supposedly hijacking the religion? Who allows their religion to be hijacked? We've all heard that at some point, even a Christian faith, or all faiths probably at some point or another, had violent periods. And Christian church went through a reformation process. They no longer agreed with the policy of some of the church leaders at the time. Burning heretics and things like that. So, the Christian church has evolved as far as that goes. You talk to different people. Some people, you watch the news talking about the Muslim faith, talking about Islam, and you hear so many different versions of Islam. You hear the clerics, which to me, these are the guys that matter in the churches, in the Islamic faith. These are the guys who are the imams. They're the high-ranking scholarly Islamic scholars who pretty much enforce Sharia law. They enforce the policies of the Quran and other literature that goes along with the Islamic faith. And these guys are unapologetic. They are not afraid to say what their mission is. And their mission is to convert everyone to Islam. And if you don't convert, they think that you should be punished. You should pay a tax. And if you're not going to pay the tax, they think they have the right to beat it out of you. So in a Islamic state, anyone who can survive and not be killed, who does not go along with Islam, either has to pay additional taxes to the church or the mosque, or I don't know who they pay. They pay somebody. Promise you, someone comes by with their hand out to collect. But it makes you wonder when we start talking about San Bernardino and all the different shootings that happened all over the place. Fort Hood, the Fort Hood shooter, that was totally a terrorist act. 9/11 was a terrorist act. I know I've got friends who have shown me footage, and they're showing me footage of evidence of inside job on 9/11. I still don't believe that yet, but I'm watching the videos. The thing is I also do video editing, and I know that some of the footage that I see looks like it could have been edited as well. So I kind of, in a way, have discredited a lot of footage that is out there purporting to support the theory of an inside government job for 9/11. But you know, either way, it was not either way. I'm pretty certain that it involved terrorism, Islamic terrorism. But our president, a lot of liberals, a lot of all the Democrats, and 90% of black people who can vote, they're giving him a pass on the recent Islamic terrorist attacks. He would like to think, meaning the president, he would like to think that on his watch, nothing happened in this country. No acts of terror occurred on his watch in this country. Well, he can't say that. He tried to say that Fort Hood was workplace violence. Workplace violence. I tell you, anyone who comes up with that conclusion is not fit to be commander in chief. That's why even today I was talking to a 17-year active duty veteran, Army. Says people are getting out in droves. They do not like the military. They do not like this commander in chief. They have no respect for him, and he's essentially lost all control of military. Even the leadership are coming out and speaking the truth against Obama's claims. You know, he claimed that this war was contained. The war with the terrorists, ISIS, is contained. Now, what does contained mean? Well, contained, it's derived from container. Container is something that holds everything together, keeps it in place, so you can always, find it. You always open the container and pull whatever out you need to, and it's there. It's a nice little package wrapped up nice and neat for you. And he said that's what ISIS was contained. Or maybe he said ISIL. I don't, it doesn't matter. Either one of them, all of them. He says they're contained. 2 days later, we have this terrorist attack, 14 Americans killed. He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just speaking out of his other orifice, and who knows, just reading lines of script given to him by people who supposedly have the best interest for the country in mind. But he comes on and he gives this speech, and we're going to get into this speech here. Comes on and he gives this speech. And when it was over with, he felt like nothing was said. There was no crackdown on terrorists. Yes, he's always been able to talk a good talk. He lays out the things that they have supposedly done, but now you hear leaders and generals reporting that information that the Obama administration has been reporting is false. Things are not as good as they report that they are. And they're trying to pull the wool over your eyes. Obama and all of the people in the Democrat Party who are walking lockstep with him, all of them, put them on a list. They are traitors to the country. Here, in his own words, you're going to hear Obama say what his primary responsibility is, and we'll talk about this here.
And as groups like ISIL grew stronger amidst the chaos of war in Iraq and then Syria, and as the internet erases the distance between countries, we see growing efforts by terrorists to poison the minds of people like the Boston Marathon bombers. For 7 years, I have confronted this evolving threat each and every morning in my intelligence briefing. And since the day I took this office, I have authorized U.S. forces to take out terrorists abroad precisely because I know how real the danger is. As Commander-in-Chief, I have no greater responsibility than the security of the American people.
I mean, this is laughable. So in the beginning of this, he talks about here, let me just play it again.
And as groups like ISIL grew stronger amidst the chaos of war in Iraq and then Syria.
That's it. Okay. So let's talk about how groups like ISIL, and I don't know why he says ISIL anyway. I think he likes the way it sounds. But as groups like ISIL gain strength in Iraq and Syria because of the chaos, I don't know about you, but to me, that sounds like on his watch, according to his strategy, his withdrawal plans, and all of the rhetoric that he used on his campaign or during his campaigns to end the wars, pull the troops, set the deadlines, etc., etc. So now we pull out, and there's chaos. There's chaos just as predicted. Just as predicted by Republicans and other people who knew, even including military leaders who knew. We pull out, they come in. That simple. But no, you couldn't convince Obama of that or anyone on his staff. I don't know what they thought. They thought maybe we pull out, they start hugging us. We pull out, they start singing songs of praise. I really don't understand how anyone can think that by removing the only force that was actually doing good to defeat them over there on their ground, that by removing these forces, Americans would be safer over here. Well, it just took a few years, and guess what? They're here. And on top of that, we have known terrorists, known jihadists, trying to enter our country posing as refugees. And then Obama goes on in this first segment. He says that he knows that his number one responsibility as commander-in-chief is the protection and security of the American people. Well, Mr. President, if you really felt like that was your number one priority, wouldn't we have a little more caution? Wouldn't we exercise more caution? And instead of rushing to import potential terrorists, that's the question everyone is talking about right now. But not too long ago, Obama was covering for terrorists. Listen to this.
The FBI is still gathering the facts about what happened in San Bernardino, but here's what we know. The victims were brutally murdered and injured by one of their co-workers and his wife. So far, we have no evidence that the killers were directed by a terrorist organization overseas or that they were part of a broader conspiracy here at home. But it is clear that the two of them had gone down the dark path of radicalization.
I think a deaf, dumb, and blind person, all of those together at one time, could have concluded or come up with that conclusion. He thinks that this doesn't have anything to do with a larger plot or plan. I think he's just lying straight to your face. He knows that they received training in Saudi Arabia, in Pakistan, became radicalized. That's not something new. They didn't start a new trend of becoming radical. They entered the Brotherhood of Islamic Radicals. And that is organized crime. That is an organization reaching into our lives and killing us. And he can try to deny that it's associated with Islam or Islamic organizations. We're not stupid. You can say what you want till you're blue in the face. We hear what we hear. We see and we know what's going on. So that's just crazy. He's trying to cover for him still. After 14 people died and countless others injured, he's still trying to deny. I mean, I know that's a tactic. Just continue denying. You don't have any proof. No one's got any hard evidence. Just keep denying, and no one's going to pay any attention, and we're going to keep on doing our thing here. So then he goes on, and he wants to talk about some ideas for how we can change things. And here's one I just want to play. It's a 10-second clip.
Next, we should put in place stronger screening for those who come to America without a visa so that we can take a hard look at whether they've traveled to war zones.
Okay, so when he says people who come to America without a visa, basically what that means is refugees. Because anyone else who comes here without a visa is coming here illegally. And he should want to deport anyone or keep them from coming here if they don't have paperwork and they know it. Otherwise, they need to be seeking asylum or just be refugees in general. So to those people, we don't even know where they're from, who they are, or anything like that. He wants to find out, though, whether they visited war zones. How are you gonna know if anyone applying in Texas now, because we've got some refugees here in Texas. How are you going to know if any of them were ever in a war zone? They don't have IDs. They don't have any sort of documentation, probably even of who they are in their own countries. Born in villages out in the country, they don't do census like we do. How does anyone know who these people are? And that comes to the rise of the question and the issue that Donald Trump has created. Now, I want to say before I get into Trump's comment here, and I'm going to play it for us. Personally, Donald Trump rubs me the wrong way. He just spouts things, doesn't think about what he's saying, and I think that's not a good trait for our president to have. That's not what I want in a president, someone as bombastic as he is. That said, it's a natural reaction. It's a natural feeling. When we see people constantly in the media, we constantly hear about people being killed by Islamic terrorists and how they are springing up and doing what they do all across the country. All 50 states, there are investigations into cells of terror networks. So, this is real. This is not a joke. And part of me wants to say, when it comes to Trump's comment, that a part of me wants to yell and say, like the others, yeah, don't let anyone come in. Yeah, lock it all down, et cetera, et cetera. But then the rational side of me kicks in and says, we can't do that. That's crazy. That's you cannot lump an entire, population of people into the same category as a small percentage of that group. I don't know what percentage. Maybe it's growing, but it's still the minority. I think it's the minority. It's the very vocal minority. But let's listen to what Donald Trump had to say, and I'll follow up with some comments on it here.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what the hell is going on. We have no choice. We have no choice.
Okay, so he says we have no choice. If you believe that we have no other choice than to ban all Muslims, as he calls them, Muslims, from entering the country, only choice we have. Well, I can tell you, I had felt at some different times that Donald Trump was a pretty brilliant guy. That he could, you know, come up with more than one solution for a problem, and you know, that he might be able to handle difficult situations without resorting to dropping bombs every time he wants to do something. Want to do something? Drop a bomb. Want to, you know, to say that you're not going to allow any Muslims from entering the country. It's just not a well-thought plan. Now, he's never going to back down. He's never going to backtrack on a comment. He'll never say, well, I'm sorry for calling you ugly. so-and-so. I'm sorry for saying that you're an idiot. I'm sorry. No, he just says what he wants to do. And so do all of his followers. His little Trump followers all follow him, and they talk trash just like he does. They're emboldened by Trump. They feel empowered to call people idiots and to trash anyone who even asked general questions about Trump positions. You know, these guys are, they remind me of a certain type of people that followed blindly a certain type of leader in the past. I'm not going to say any names. I don't need to say any names. I don't need to name any periods. You can use your own imagination. But it will apply in probably several different periods because people are desperate. When you're starving and someone offers you a bone, you're going to take that bone and you're going to love that bone. You're going to bury the bone. Well, before you bury it, you're going to, you know, savor it for a while. Maybe sleep next to the bone. You know, you see all the cartoons that bury the bone. That's what Trump does. He keeps throwing bones to his followers. And they take all these bones and they pile them up. And they feel good about having this nice big pile of bones. But problem is, there's nothing on the bone. It's just a bone. And it has appeased them long enough for him to possibly be elected. They don't even care about anything in his past. His followers could care. His followers, let me tell you, trash Obama for all of the character flaws that he has. For all of his, you know, all of his wrongdoings in his life. They trash him. The other way, regarding Trump. None of that stuff matters now when it's their guy. None of the divorces matter. None of the I don't even want to get into all the stories, but you know what? You can Google them and find them yourself if you're interested, but it doesn't matter. In print, audio, video, you can have any evidence of Trump doing the most heinous, stupid things, and his supporters are going to look at you and smile, and they're not going to care, and they're going to call you an idiot. They're going to call you a rhino, and it's the only way they know how to attack. It's a Saul Alinsky tactic. You know, all these Tea Party and libertarians, when they first caught wind of Saul Alinsky, when they learned that Bill Ayers and all of these, the Clintons and all their crew from the early days were all radicalized by Saul Alinsky, they all went out and bought the book, Rules for Radicals. And they told themselves that they were going to use those same rules to gain power and control. And so what have they done? They've infiltrated the Republican Party, and now they're placing candidates and doing things under the nose of the GOP, and all along their plans have been to infiltrate and take over. And you know what? We let them. People who argued against it, I've always called Tea Party people disgruntled Republicans, but they have their candidates, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, and anyone else is just manure in their eyes. These people, if their candidate is not elected, I promise you, will not vote for the GOP nominee. They're such hateful, sore losers. They're childish, and I promise they would rather, they're not going to vote. They're going to be the one who says that a real conservative was not elected in the GOP primary, so therefore they're not going to cast their vote. And they're going to try to jeopardize the GOP nominee if it's not Trump or Cruz. But you'll never get them to admit that they will not be nominees. No one will admit that they're not going to be the nominee. But I do know this. When I talk to Carson supporters, they're all respectful, courteous, professional. I talk to other candidates, it's the same. When I talk to Cruz and Trump especially, followers, they're the worst. They're the absolute worst. You know, we need to beware of those people in our party. We need to reevaluate the tactic of allowing outsiders, essentially third-party voters or third-party people mentality. We have no concern for the GOP, no loyalty. Everyone except for them is not conservative. That's how they see it. They're the most conservative. Who's the most conservative? Oh, that's Cruz Missile. Cruz Missile's the most conservative. Cruz to 2016. We're cruising for whatever. Yep. This is what we've come to today. The Democrat side's not much better. You got a socialist and an almost socialist. You got a socialist and you got someone who hates America. Pick either one. Either one of them could fill the spot. I talked to a young girl the other day, a voting age young lady. She had a Bernie Sanders bumper sticker on the back of her car. And I kind of acted like I was interested in why she might want it. Well, I kind of was interested. Asked her why she would support Bernie Sanders. And she said, well, he's for the little guy. He's for higher wages. He's for raising the minimum wage. And I said, isn't he a socialist? And she kind of looked at me like, uh-oh, maybe this guy knows a little bit about Bernie Sanders. And she said, well, yeah, but he's a good socialist. I wanted to invite her to meet my friend Maria, who is from a socialist country and has described to me many times in awesome stories of the experience of life in a socialist country. And I don't think this girl would enjoy that. She would not make it in a socialist country. Well, I don't know. I say that. I guess in a socialist country, everyone is equal. Everyone is equally poor. Everyone equally has nothing. And if that's what you want, I guess you can vote for Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. I'm leaning towards two particular candidates you might have seen in my description of the show that I'm interested in Ben Carson and Marco Rubio. I'd like to see either one of them do something. Of course, the attacks are going to start getting pretty brutal now. You can tell everyone's getting amped and peaked. especially Trump supporters. And, you know, what I've decided to do with these guys, I'm going to hit them back. You know, part of me is I'm not going to hit them back with stupidity like they hit me. I'm going to hit them back with facts. And, you know, they can't handle the facts. You start talking about facts and they start insulting you. Because just the fact that you're questioning something, the fact that you question whether it's a good idea for Trump to have mentioned that, when I did that on Facebook today, my comment was, what did I say that got everyone riled up? Where is it? And now I'm not going to find it. Basically, I said, look, seems like Trump fans are pretty silent these days. And immediately I had some people responding, some Trump supporters. And they bring in their own backup. That's the word I'm thinking of. They bring in their own backup to help tag team and strike down the non-Trump guy. And so that's how they do it. They're going to tag team you. They're going to try to beat you down and do like the Muslims do to the American girls who wear short skirts. They're going to just trash you, make you think that everything you say is stupid, and make everyone else who reads what is also think that you must be stupid as well. So to try to discredit you, make you feel like you don't know what you're talking about, and maybe you'll shut up and not say anything stupid again. And I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. I say what I want to say. I'm always going to say what I want to say. And they don't like it, tough. They can contact me. You know what? They're more than welcome to come on my show. I'll invite, and I have in the past, invited people to try to come on my show, but you know what? They never do because they can't face the music. They don't want to sit there and have to answer these questions because what it means, they're going to have to admit that they're cold-hearted people and their candidate is cold-hearted as well. Now, I can tell you, it does not take a rocket scientist to know that we have to do something in this battle against Muslim extremism. There's no doubt. We got to. But the answer is not to prohibit any Muslim from entering our country. That's just ridiculous. And if you're sticking with Trump because, pretty much if you stuck with Trump this long, you're never going to leave him. And I think I heard Rush even mention that in his program last week. You're sticking with him, nothing anyone says or does, and nothing he does will ever change your mind. And I think the reason that is because it's impossible for you to save face now. You can't back out now because then you'll look like a chump for following a guy and standing up for him as long as you have. Hey, look, when Trump first came out and he started talking about all of the borders and rapists and murderers coming across the border, I knew that he was talking about all Mexicans, that all Mexicans are rapists and murderers. I knew that's not what he said, so I defended him. I said, you know what? Let's not put words in his mouth. That's not what he said. I'll defend him. But then when he started going beyond what I could tolerate, what I wanted from a president, I cut him off. I'm done with him. Other people wanted to stick around a little longer. They wanted to see if he would say something else to put his foot in his mouth. And, well, they got caught up in the big lights. They got caught up in the apprentice. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they're all just trying to get their picture with him or something. Who knows? But ultimately, right now, the way it sits, he's at the top. So my little program isn't going to hurt him one bit. But it makes me feel good. And you know what? I'm not cussing them out. I'm not telling them that they're idiots. They have a right to follow Trump. But just because someone doesn't like your candidate doesn't mean you have to blast them out of the water and discredit and make them feel unworthy of being able to vote or cast a vote for someone. I mean, please, people, don't be so irrational. Don't allow yourselves to be swept up into something that is not good. I mean, I don't know what else to say. There's only have a few more minutes in this program. It is what it is. His followers are going to follow him. They like it. They love the red meat. Ted Cruz will probably benefit that jump from Trump. And we'll see. We'll see. Trump might even run third party. It's still out there. Rumors. We'll see. I'm not sure. But tonight, I just have to laugh at all of the... I was going through and looking at some of my different comments, and you know, every single person that has a rude comment or is just a jerk on my page is a Trump supporter. Wonder why that is. I wonder why they have the same qualities. I don't know. Well, that's the end of my program. I appreciate you tuning in. We're going to keep this up. This coming Thursday night, it's a couple days from now, we have Dr. David Walaloo. He is our moderate Muslim. He will be joining us, and I'm telling you, we're going to break it down. We're going to get into this conversation a little more. I'm just kind of setting it up, but definitely on Thursday, you're not going to want to miss that program. We're going to get into this whole repercussions of Trump's statement, whether or not that's the right move. Is that who we are as Americans? I don't think so. I don't think that we're so incapable of coming up with a different solution. Trump may want that to be the solution, but you know what? That just proves he's incapable of thinking outside the box. That's such a weak solution, alternative. That it's glaring to me. It's not glaring to his followers, but it's glaring to me. It's glaring to others. It's not a winning formula. I am one of those people who does believe that if he somehow gets into is the Republican nominee, oh Lord help us, I think the Democrats are going to have a field day. Anyway, I'm out of here. This is the Duke Mitrado Show. Continue to tune in and look for me on Facebook. Like my page, The Duke Mitrado Show. And, of course, always interested in following me on Twitter. You know, hey, it is what it is. It's another night down. We've got our audio archive, so just go back and listen to it. Share the program with others. And we'll see if we can't get some people to call in the next few days and really get the conversation going. Tonight I'm just ranting, but in the next few days we're going to get this going and see what these Trump supporters are all about, whether they're going to come on and talk about this or not. So catch me again, 10 o'clock, Monday through Thursday, the Duke Mitrado Show. I'm out of here.